Bé, bon dia. Comencem avui dintre del Festival FEM aquesta sessió de presentació de treballs de les artistes, de les performers que participen enguany en aquest festival que actualment és un dels festivals de referència de la performance a nivell europeu. Jo, des de la Càtedra d'Art i Cultura Contemporània, us voldria donar la benvinguda a tots els estudiants, a tots els professors i sobretot a totes les artistes. I començarem avui amb la presentació de les obres de Mònica Ros, Marilyn Arsem, Lucía Peiro, Ángela García, Andrea Siman, Benedicte Clementstein, Agnes Nedgard, Nora Tinholt, Maria Dos Milagres, Leslie Yandel i Anne Seagrave. La Denise Blaker, que és la directora del festival i directora de Gresol Art, farà la presentació de les artistes. Moltes gràcies.
I'll just do a quick translation. This of Pepa Balzac. Is the director of the chair of contemporary art and culture here in the University of Girona in the Department of Letters, no? At the Faculty of Letters. She's saying welcome to everyone, the artists, the teachers who've come, the public, and a short explanation about the festival. FEM is a festival which is in its 9th edition, and we've been collaborating with the university for a couple of years, 5 years, I think. And also we've taken part in a research project in the university Live Art Archive. So now we're going to start the presentation of the artist's work. They're very short 10-minute presentations. It's really just to get an idea of each other's work and to have something to talk about afterwards. And because there's so many of us, we're going to be quite brief about it. So we're going to start today with Anne Seagrave, who's going to project something onto the wall here. Yeah, and we're going to shut the lights. I'm not going to talk too much about the artist because we really don't have much time altogether. So what I'm thinking is that the program has a short description of their work. We can provide you all with more information afterwards, okay? We'll go straight into the presentation. Thank you.
I work very slowly and adapt my work to fit different situations and environments.
We're going to listen to Leslie Yendel now. Leslie is an artist who is an English artist, but she's been living in Spain, in Catalonia, for over 20 years. She started with sculpture and has moved on into performance as part of the process.
Is this on? Hi, thank you. My name's Leslie. I've lived here in Spain for about 20 years now, and I suppose one of the biggest influence on me was when I moved from Britain to Spain, and I was moved to a small rural village, and that made a deep impression upon my work. And as Denise said, I come to performance from the world of sculpture. So the image you see at the moment is an image that is a more recent work by me. It's called Buscándose el Pan, which means searching for bread. And it was a reflection on the idea of economic migration. Coming to the world of performance from the world of sculpture, I suppose I have a particular interest in the objects that I'm making, and also drawing is very important to me in my work. So I tend to make works which are drawings in the spaces that I'm using, and respond to the various architectural shapes that I become involved with. And I will just, I see the performance work as an extension of my sculptural practice, and so I'm going to just go through a few other images. As I said, I'm interested in making the objects for my performances, and so this is an image of one of the pieces that I've made for a performance. And this is a performance which is more of an action, which was made last month in the Corpology Group performance in Barcelona at the Antique Teatro. And I became more interested in this idea of the action of drawing. And so I filled each spoon with a spoonful of flour and then pulled the strings to make the drawing of the flour in the circle of red velvet that you see. I'm just going to briefly go back through to show you briefly where I've come from. These are some of my sculptural works which... I've lost it. These are some of the sculptural works which have led to the type of work that I do in performance. So I've been working with installation indoors. I like to use natural materials which contrast with an interior space. The pieces are large scale, and I'm interested in the transformation of everyday objects by how, when you change the scale and the material of something which is associated with the domestic and the interior world, changes in its meaning and begins to sort of oscillate, becomes quite mysterious as it talks about two realities at the same time. So these are some of the sculptural works which... You can see, when you see my performance, you'll see how some of these things have fed into the type of imagery I use in the performance work. A lot of these works have been made in conjunction with the general public. And that's very important to me when I'm working sculpturally, is that I have people around me working with me and the exchange of communication that brings about. These are a few projects which I was doing in Northern Ireland recently as part of a Regenerate project. they stay there and they erode away, and yes, they're ephemeral. They're ephemeral pieces. They are made of branches. Yes, they're part of when woodland is thinned, or when pruning, the process of pruning of trees takes place, then that waste material is what I use. So I'm never cutting material from the forest just for the work. It's usually part of some forestry process. And then this was the work that led me to working as a performance, because I found the act of actually making this drawing was as interesting as the drawing itself. And so this is the piece that actually led me into this new world. Okay, and that's all from me. Thank you.
Now we're going to see the work of Lucia Peiro. She's from Valencia. And I'm going to translate because she's going to speak in Catalan, and I'm going to translate into English.
Bueno, la verdad es que no sé si catalán o castellano nada pues exactamente igual. El PowerPoint sí, en castellà, sí. Pero en dona igual hacerlo en catalán. ¿Tenéis el pase en el ratolí de así, no? Sí, vale.
Si vos veus la pantalla completa,
aquí. No, en dona igual, si me sí? Seguís. Sí, perquè hi ha sí, text.
Obre això, doncs. Perquè així no veus el pantalla.
No, però ho veig, perquè té text i és molt... Hola, bon dia. Vaig explicar-los un poquet com és el meu treball, encara que estiga parlant en català i el text siga en castellà, em dona igual. Si algú té preferència pel castellà, a mi em dona igual.
So I'm going to talk about my work, now I'm going to speak in Catalan, but the text is in Spanish, in castellano, so you can follow, everyone can follow.
Bueno, preferís fer-lo en castellà. A ver, yo quería explicaros un poco cómo funciona mi trabajo, cómo tomo las ideas para poder ser más creativa cada día.
I want to explain to you how
y
I work and
la verdad es que tengo unas pautas muy sencillas y muy concretas.
I have some very clear
me
ways
abastezco
of working.
De la realidad, de todo lo que sucede a mi alrededor.
I get inspired by reality.
Por eso os he puesto esta primera diapositiva en la que yo os hago conjugar el verbo comer. Todos comemos, yo
so I'm
como,
going to
tú
play
comes,
with the verb to
come.
Eat today.
Nosotros comemos, vosotros coméis y ellos comen. ¿Qué es lo que comemos? Comemos realmente todo lo que tenemos a nuestro alrededor. Ay, que no me pasa.
I'll try and translate that. I eat, you eat, we eat, they eat, what do we eat? We eat what we have around us. Longer, but...
Todos los días realizamos acciones cotidianas. Cuando me levanto por las mañanas siempre pienso qué es lo que voy a hacer. Lo primero que hago cuando me levanto es pensar lo que voy a comer. Todos los actos que realizo desde el momento en el que me levanto hasta el momento en el que me acuesto condicionan una situación y también condiciona un pensamiento. Todo lo que pienso a lo largo de todo el día es lo que condiciona mi trabajo. Por eso siempre nos estamos planteando, yo por lo menos me cuestiono.
Do you want me to translate? Yo pensaba que lo hacías adrede. Yo pensaba, bueno, mala memoria.
Vale. Perdón.
Every day when I get up, I think about what I'm going to do, and the first thing I think about is what I'm going to eat. And then, so everything that I think about conditions the way that I'm going to think about it and what I do and how I eat and what I'm going to eat. More or less like that. I'm not going to go.
Hace años, bastantes años, cuando estudiaba en la Facultad de Bellas Artes, descubrí el campo del arte de acción.
Some years ago, when I was studying art, I discovered the live art.
Y ello hizo que me replantease todo lo que yo ya me había en mi subconsciente planteado, que era pensar a diario cada uno de los actos que realizaba.
And it made me really change my way of thinking. I had to start thinking about what is it that we do, to have an awareness of what we do every day, the actions we take.
Por eso, en los años 80, cuando descubrí la performance, pensaba que las cuestiones que yo me planteaba tenían un verdadero significado en mi trabajo artístico. Y eran las cuestiones de por qué se come, por qué se vive. ¿Qué es lo que hay escrito aquí? ¿Se vive porque se piensa o porque se piensa se come?
And so I had to ask myself these questions from the 80s when I started to think about this, the basic questions, why we think, why we eat.
Una vez me cuestiono el pensamiento, me cuestiono el habla, que fue la segunda parte importante en la introducción de ese parámetro de la palabra en mi trabajo artístico.
When I start to act, I start to think, and so when I start to think.
Y entonces empezaba a cuestionarme mientras empezaba a conocer el campo del arte de acción, si hablamos porque pensamos. Pensamos lo que hablamos o decimos lo que escuchamos.
Vale.
Es el que está así. Sí.
And I start to ask myself, do we speak? You've taken it away. Put it back. We'll get there in the end.
Voy más rápida que veis.
If we talk because we think, if we think because we talk, or do we say what we're listening to?
Y en ese momento fue cuando apareció para mí el verdadero significado del verbo o la voz.
So it's an investigation, if you like, about the true significance of the verb and the voice.
La introducción y el descubrimiento, la descodificación. La descodificación de las palabras, el llegar a los sonidos y el jugar con las vocales y las consonantes fue el primer punto de partida en mi trabajo creativo.
The decodification of words, the sense, the meaning of words, this all became the sort of base of my work.
Me interesaba cuestionarme qué es lo que yo escuchaba, cómo hablaba la gente y qué es lo que decía, porque para mí nunca tenía el mismo significado que para los demás.
And I started thinking to myself and noticing that when people talk to me, what do I hear and what do I understand from what they're saying, because it never was the same thing.
Fue entonces cuando empecé a realizar el trabajo de la poesía fonética en el que yo me basaba en frases hechas, proverbios que existen en nuestro vocabulario tradicional y a partir de esas frases hechas, descontextualizaba lo que decían para crear piezas de poesía fonética en las que lo importante solo era la voz.
So that's when I started working phonetic poetry and beginning to work with frases hechas, phrases, you know, common phrases of expression. So that I would deconstruct them and try and find the real meaning behind them.
Decodificaba el significado, por ejemplo, de la frase "obras son amores que no buenas razones."
Like the phrase, for example, "obras con razones
que no buenas razones." Es la carrera. Obras. Obras son amores.
Okay. Works are love, but not good reasons.
Y al mismo tiempo que decodificaba el significado de la palabra, realizaba un acto sobre mi cuerpo. En este caso, utilizaba un cepillo de dientes y dentífrico para frotar, lavar o fregar todo mi cuerpo.
And so in this particular one, I also used at the same time an action. It's when I started to work with action and I used a toothbrush and I brushed myself all over.
Espera que no lo puedo baixar.
La flecha de abajo.
Sí, pero no puedo.
Puedes ir.
No puedo.
Las fechas, ya, yeah. Okay.
Es que no lo puedo. Se me va. No voy a pujar, voy a pujar.
¿Quieres ir bajando aquí?
Ah, bueno, vale, sí, pero es que no recuerdo. Ah, vale. Vale. A partir de entonces, yo pienso siempre que yo creo en un momento presente, pero tengo dos vertientes. Por un lado tengo la vía racional, por otra parte tengo la imaginación, pero por otra parte realizo una asociación de ideas que siempre es inconexa. Nunca, nunca es algo que piensas que es certero. El efecto sorpresa que causó me hizo variar la línea de mi trabajo.
So my creation is about the present, but it's a discovery of the Lucía, no pases fins que
hagi
traduït, that has a rational explanation, an imaginative explanation, and then an association which is never what you would expect it to be.
Fue entonces cuando descubrí a Robert Filiu y estaba convencida de que yo era su hija, que todo era verdad, que lo que yo hacía día a día me lo había dicho alguien.
That's when I discovered Robert Filiu and I thought I really was his daughter.
Entonces, entonces seguía pensando que realmente yo me retroalimentaba de todo lo que vivía a mi alrededor. Y pensaba, como decía él en una de sus obras teatrales, una frase cotidiana es lo que me lleva a tener un pensamiento no cotidiano que me lleva a tener una idea no normal.
Nourish myself through the ideas, and I started to realize that things weren't all that they seemed.
Y decidí conjugar todos esos factores para realmente exprimir el jugo de lo que yo vivía día a día para tener un trabajo que fuera el reflejo de mi propia vida.
So I tried to then afterwards take these situations and get all the juice out of them, and which was really just a reflection of my own life.
Inconscientemente, todos los actos que realizo tienen un efecto contrario. O sea, tú nunca exprimes un tomate. Aquí hay una imagen de una performance que se llama Ñam Ñam, en la que realizo la ejecución de un bocadillo de jamón con tomate, pero no lo realizo como un cocinero, sino todo lo contrario, como si estuviera realizando un trabajo de bricolaje. Mi chaqueta tiene por dentro todos los elementos que se necesitan para realizar ese bocadillo.
So in this performance, for example, it was I was going to make a ham sandwich with tomato, but it's not really going to be like a normal sandwich. It's more like a work of do-it-yourself. Inside my jacket, I've got all the things that I need for the performance.
Y ello me lleva a generar siempre, siempre ideas sin límites, porque lo que yo hago es partir de todo lo que me rodea para crear. En términos publicitarios, hay quien le llama brainstorming. Wedibre.
So then
brainstorming.
Brainstorming.
Los ingleses.
That's when I started to just let out as many ideas as possible.
Realmente nunca he encontrado una palabra que lo defina, porque lo que hago es apropiarme de todo lo que hay a mi alrededor, tanto lo consciente como lo inconsciente. Todas las ideas son válidas, todos los actos son válidas, son válidos, pero a partir de ellos creo cosas inconexas.
And so really, it's not really brainstorming, but what I do is I appropriate everything around me, ideas, thoughts, actions, anything that's everything is valid, there's nothing invalid.
Y entonces es cuando realmente empezamos a sumar, pero hay veces que sumamos las ideas para crear nuevas ideas que generan nuevas ideas, pero a veces sumamos para restar. Eso nos pasa a todos cuando estamos realizando algo. Y entonces eso es lo que permite que yo cambie el sentido de mis acciones.
So when I'm working, I may add on things, but sometimes adding on is taking away, and so this is the change of meaning that we can give to work.
La imagen que tenéis aquí es de la performance titulada Llegado el momento, me encuentro.
This piece of work is called The Moment's Arrived, The Arrived Moment, I Haven't Found It.
En la que trabajo con pan y con vino.
And I work with wine and bread.
Vuelvo a tomar referencia de la frase hecha al pan pan y al vino vino.
I take the phrase, the set phrase, the, with bread, bread, and with wine, wine.
Pero que en este caso no tiene nada que ver lo que yo hago con lo que dice la frase.
But I don't do anything to do with the phrase, really.
Siempre me lleva a situaciones en las que no tiene sentido beberse el vino a través de una copa que está a través del pan que está dentro de la boca.
So it's not really it's not a functional thing to drink the wine that's stuck in a funnel that's stuck in my mouth.
Pero considero que es un juego que permite a quien lo ve que le cree nuevas ideas.
But it creates new ideas in the person who's looking at it.
Luego utilizo la alteración del significado, que es también lo que os he explicado antes. Cambiamos el uso, o sea, yo no recojo, sino tiro, como aparece en esta imagen.
So then I also use the changing of meaning of this.
No entro sino salgo, no subo sino bajo.
I don't go up, I go down, I don't go in, I go out.
Siempre todo al revés.
Everything's always back to front.
Porque otra de las partes importantes dentro de mi trabajo es el humor. Aunque yo creo que mi humor solo lo entiendo yo. Pero bueno, eso es otra cosa.
¿Aunque qué?
Aunque creo que mi humor, mi sentido del humor lo entiendo solo yo.
Another thing is humor. Although her sense of humor, she thinks is only she's the only one who understands it.
Y además considero que aparte de realizar arte o trabajar en arte, lo más importante en cualquier trabajo es divertirse. Y por eso a mí me gusta hacer cosas que me divierten.
And really the most important thing surely is to have a good time in art, whatever you're doing in any work, and what I really like to do is have a good time.
Otra cosa que no os he explicado es que me gusta mucho trabajar con los elementos de alimentación. Trabajo casi siempre con productos que se comen.
And I like to work with food because nearly everything I use can be eaten.
Porque para mí una de las bases fundamentales de la alimentación no es solo la comida, es el pensamiento también. Intento asociar ideas con comida.
And food as well is as important as ideas, so I try to associate food.
Que muchas veces derivan en el absurdo y eso provoca la risa o la sonrisa.
And it ends up being quite absurd, which provokes smiles or laughter.
Esta foto que veis aquí es de una acción que realizo con gaseosas.
This is a performance I do with fizzy water, well, with lemonade type thing, soda water.
Las hago reventar continuamente. Es algo muy divertido y entonces generó la idea de la provocación porque a todos a veces se nos ocurre una idea sobre un elemento. Todos pensamos, oh, la botella puede caer y explotar, pero nadie lo hace.
And I burst them, really squashing them, and then I do this over and again, and people think, you know, maybe you've thought about it many times, oh, I'd really like to... If that bottle falls down, it'll explode, or I could explode it, but we don't do it.
Bueno, esta era la presentación que os había presentado. Gracias.
That's it.
我们今天要看的是Benedikt Clemensen从挪威，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个艺术家，他是一个 I'm going to start by showing a piece I did in a festival a few months ago. And, well, you could only see the performance through, it was in a prison. Can you try that? Yeah? Is it on? Yeah, it's on. So it was a festival that were held in a prison, and we were all doing a durational performance. I did an 8-hour-long performance, and the audience could only see me or see the performance through a small hole in the door. So basically, how you see it now is what they saw when they entered the area where I were. So it was completely dark, and they had to stand there for quite some time in order to understand or to see what was going on. And there was basically this. After some time, they could kind of see my face. Yeah. And what was really interesting was for me to hear what the audience, like how they responded, because they thought that I was so far away. So they were talking about the work, like constantly talking about the work. And is it a human or is it not a human? I think it's a sculpture. I think they want us to believe that it's a human and so on. And it was really, and like all the associations and yeah, they were just babbling on. It was really nice. And all the kids thought it was really scary, which was also a very nice experience. Sorry. This is a performance and an installation I did in a gallery, which is a window gallery. And I made an installation out of textile, and it was lighted like this. It was in the middle of the winter, and it was on, the light was on 24 hours. And on a specific time every evening, I did a performance inside the space, and you could only see it from outside. And I had flashlight. It's not flashlight. It has a word. Yeah, like strobe light in the back of the installation, behind the textile. So what happened was that the audience lost their sight basically constantly, because when the flash goes on, it's so clear that your sight disappears for a few seconds, and it slowly comes back, and then it hits you again, basically. And I was just moving around slowly inside the textile, and the textile was connected to me from here and up, so maybe they could sometimes see my mouth, but they could never see my eyes. It had a sound piece in relation to it, which is made by a sound artist from Bergen as well. So here you could see like basically how it were when they saw a part of my face. And this is the flash. This performance I did 2 weeks ago here in Spain. I were a part of FEM's residency program here, and I made this piece in relation to that. I'm going to show some pictures. So it's a costume, like a glacier-like costume. And it was a very big room. It was like larger than this room, and it was totally black. And you just saw this lighted object in the middle of the room. And you came in, and you could basically walk around and realizing that there's a human inside. And I was like really just moving really slowly, like like this glacier meltdown. Two holes for my feet, two holes for my hands. And what was really interesting, and coming back to perception, was in this manner, I was an object, I was a human, but because they couldn't really see all of me, I think it made people come closer to me. So people were touching me. And again, people, like, they thought I didn't hear what they were saying. And people were, actually one kid, he laid down next to me. And I think he tried to do the same things as I did. And and people were like touching my hand, checking my temperature. And even though I was like constantly in movement, just because they couldn't see my, or not just because, but also because they couldn't see my eyes, and often they couldn't see none of my face, right? They actually dared to go closer. So in my works, I'm interested in this, like this transformation between different stages, and in relation to the constant limitations we are experiencing as human beings, like the limitations of our body, the limitations of our mind, and the limitations in our relations, in our communication. And it's like I use this often nature like metaphors and anecdotes to create like to communicate subjective manners, but in a more universal, like I try to use the nature or those like larger images to become more universal in a sense. Yes, thank you.
Now we're going to see the work of Marilyn Narsam, who's come all the way from Boston. She's a bit jet-lagged as well. We're getting her to work straight away. She only arrived yesterday.
There's my name. Okay. Oh, hello. I'm very happy to be here. Thank you. I've been making performance since the mid-70s. Actually, earlier, but I won't start there. So I've done a lot of different kinds of work, solo work, collaborative work, installation, working with political themes, personal issues. Some of it's more theatrical, some of it's more conceptual, action-based, durational. I've worked in bookstores, on the street, in galleries. Most recently, since the mid-90s, really, I've been working internationally in festivals, partly because of the situation for art, performance art in particular, in the United States, which that's a long story. That I won't go into. Anyway, what happened when I started working internationally, I had to move away from verbal work and work much more visually. I realized also that when I brought a prepared work to a festival, I spent more time trying to get the context there to conform to where I made the work in Boston. And I realized I wasn't really paying attention to where I was. And why travel if you don't pay attention to where you are and meeting people? So I began making work, waiting until I arrived and choosing a location and making a work in response to a site. And it meant that I had to talk to people and go visit the markets to find materials and really be very alert to the situation and to the kind of energy in the place, to ask people what they were thinking about or concerned about. It's a kind of education for sure, and a really wonderful opportunity to meet artists in other parts of the world and understand how they make work and what it means to be an artist in a different culture than mine. In the United States, in its hyper-capitalism, you're expected to produce commodities that are really investment objects, and performance doesn't fit that category. You can't buy me, you can't put me in a vault, and you can't wait 200 years till I'm worth a lot more money. I try not to repeat myself. Then I discover, of course I am. So I'm going to show you some work that I've done since just in the last 10 or 15 years, if I can make it work. All right, I put a black one in there so I could talk. All right, I'm going to start with a piece that I did in Pula, Croatia, in I think it was 1999. I spent a lot of time in the mid-90s in former Yugoslavia, and this is a work called Darkness Be Gone. I did it in 6 different sites, the action itself, and 6 different sites in Pula, or around Istria. It was really about, it was an action where blackness covered a space and over several hours disappeared into the ground. And whoever uttered the title out loud participated in the action. So I did it in the city hall. I did it in a former coal mine. I did it in a former church. And this is in the citadel in Pula, which is a fort that has been used by all the different armies that have occupied Croatia. The shape there is a kind of opening into a staircase that goes into tunnels under the city, and they were used during all the wars and prepared for use when Yugoslavia broke up. And so it's just a very slow action of the black fabric disappearing into the ground. You can see me there. Very interesting conversations about the title, Darkness Be Gone, and how it would be translated in Istrian. It's Skuru Hoicha. Interesting discussion about language that is a command, and when it's a kind of military command versus a kind of spell. We erred towards the incantation. Tudjman died shortly after that, and some of the artists thought I helped. This is a piece I did in Valparaiso, Chile. I've done a number of works in Chile. Probably my first political awareness as a young college student was about the U.S.'s participation in Chile in overthrowing Allende. Of course, I grew up during the Vietnam War, too, so I was participating in anti-war activities. But so when I went to Chile, I did, interestingly, I better watch the time. the CIA in the United States had just released, this was in mid-2000s, had just released their documents, heavily redacted, that admitted the participation of Allende's overthrow. This is a performance that I did. The festival was in a refrigerator warehouse and on the waterfront in Valparaiso, and you could smell seaweed everywhere. So the organizers of the festival filled half the room with seaweed, and over the course of 4 or 5 hours, I just very slowly rolled through it, and it gradually wound around my body. My feet were in a trough filled with water and salt. Whoops, there's the final one. That completely encased in the seaweed. So a lot of stillness. There were other installations, so people, and durational performances, so people walked around the space and looked in different rooms and came back to see the progress. So there's a reference here to the Pinochet's methods, and also in Argentina, the methods of dealing with political prisoners, which was to fly them out over the Pacific and drop them into the ocean to disappear them. This is in Taipei. This is one of those where I arrived one day and had to do the performance the second day, and we went to look at the park, and I picked this area that was so bereft of grass, and I decided to bring some flowers to it. And so I was, Larry? It's Lewis. One of our Mobius members has recently moved to Taiwan. Anyway, I just made this line of flowers through this part of the park that was so lacking in color. Probably a 2 or 3 hour performance. This is one. I'm showing a range of them just to explain my strategies for making work, and so you can forgive me if what I choose to do here is less than brilliant. This is a performance in Sweden, in Gothenburg, Sweden. The festival, this was 2 years ago, the festival was at a museum, but no one on the website, of course, they didn't tell us that there was a amusement park adjacent to the museum with the tallest free fall ride in Europe called Atmosphere, F-E-A-R. And so every 5 minutes in the courtyard of the museum, you heard screaming with the people falling through the air into nothing. No, I don't know where they fell. So I did a performance holding 40 liters of peppermint ice cream and screaming along with the atmosphere. So there were other performances going on inside the museum, and again, people came out to check. It was raining. It was cold. There I am. There I am screaming again. And my ice cream was melting down the front of me. It was pretty disgusting. So, you know, it took me days to realize, oh yeah, I scream. Oh. So I am trying to trust my instinct and just go with the idea. And afterwards I was like, oh yeah, that's really, now I know why. I think this might be the, how am I doing on time? Okay. Last year, also in Sweden, on a dock in a small town, Mariestad. So I just was sitting at a table and had stones. I think it was a kind of meditation on the universe. This was also a couple hours. Shadows and dust blowing. This was last summer in Germany. I brought the audience out into outside of the performance space. Again, a piece that I did over 2 hours that the audience came back to see the progress. But once I brought them out and greeted them, I told them that I had to leave and that I was sorry, but they couldn't follow me. And so I walked backwards very slowly and planted a row of poppy seeds across the landscape, and they should grow this summer. And a line of red flowers extending. So each time the audience came back, I was smaller until I disappeared way. That's maybe a quarter of the way, so I was all the way back.
Back in the trees.
I thought I would actually end with a piece I did in the 90s in Boston. I didn't perform. Well, I was sometimes in the trees. This was a performance for audiences of a single person. It was done in the snow at dusk, right before sunset. They met me in the country and left their car behind, and I dropped them off. And I said, "This is red in woods. Follow the red yarn path. It will take place in 360 degrees around you, both near and far. You can engage with it any way you wish. You'll know when it's over, and be careful." They had agreed to go on this walk and meet me 3 days later to be videotaped describing their experience. It took us 3 years to do it for 6 people. What I had installed in the landscape were red images. You could consider it an exploded version of Red Riding Hood, though it was not so literal. But one of the first people they met, I mean, one of the first things they encountered here, I let them off. It's getting dark, it's cold. They're feeling a little bit hesitant about why they agreed to do it. And suddenly they meet a child. She was 5 when she started doing this. And so from feeling childlike on their part, they're suddenly, the roles are reversed, and a lot of discussion about whether they were parental or kind of a wolf. She disappeared very quickly, but they went through, there were things to eat. There were these red boxes that started with chocolate-covered cherries and ended with raw liver. There were more than 30 images. There was a meal down in a little valley with hot tea. And this one you can barely see. I'll point it out to you. It's a red bed with a figure standing next to it far, far in the distance. And as they thought they were approaching it, the figure came towards them, but when they thought they would meet that person, they disappeared. A red chair in a tree. So we, at one point they heard their name being whispered in the dark from the trees. I have 6 different interviews with fairly different responses, quite different responses. When they got to the end of the path, they were very close to where they had left their car, and there was a note pointing them in the right direction, but what they didn't expect was that we left red objects outside of their house in the days between when they were there and when they came to be interviewed. I'll stop there.